We're going to continue our study in the Sermon on the Mount. We've been looking at this sermon, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And then we're going to continue through the book of Matthew for many, many months. And this morning we're going to slow down to look at only two verses, verse 13 and 14. The title of my message is, Which Way to Heaven? This morning, I hope very clearly we'll understand how a person gets to go to heaven. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Jesus speaking says, Enter ye in at the straight or narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because narrow is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. A general of the Persian army always gave his condemned prisoners a choice. The firing squad or the black door? Most chose the firing squad. The prisoners were never told what was on the other side of the door. Few ever chose the unknown of the black door. But when the general was asked what was on the other side of the black door, he responded, Freedom. And I've only known a few men who were brave enough to take it. These guys are standing before this firing squad or the black door, and they say, well, I'll take the firing squad, they're shot and die, without even knowing that behind the black door is freedom. You know, the choices that we make in life are very important, some of them really important. The firing squad or the black door, it's either life or death. Now, we all get up daily and make a lot of decisions. We make decisions like what to wear. Maybe this morning you stood before your closet and you have all of these clothes. And you kind of stand there thinking, you know, what shall I wear? That won't match this. And no, that won't match that. And this won't. And you have a nervous breakdown standing in front of your closets. You ever had that happen? You say, no. So you have to decide, what am I going to wear today? Or maybe you have to decide, what am I going to buy? Or what am I not going to buy? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? And then there's large decisions like, who am I to marry? Or who am I not to marry? Those are very important decisions. But few choices or decisions we face in life are as important as what to do with the person of Jesus Christ. The most important decision that any human being can ever make is what they are going to do with the person of Jesus Christ. And that decision is really inevitable. Everyone must face that choice. Am I going to believe in Jesus? Am I going to receive Him as my Savior? Am I going to enter the gate and follow the narrow way? Or am I going to reject Jesus Christ and follow the path of my own choosing, follow my own lead? Now, Jesus in our text brings us to a choice. It's a choice between two gates, a narrow gate or a wide gate. It is a choice between two ways, the narrow way or the broad way. It is a choice between two destinations. One destination leads to life, the other destination is destruction. There are no third options. As you read these verses, you're struck with the absoluteness of the choice between either the narrow gate or the wide gate, the narrow way, the broad way, life or destruction. Those are the only two choices, and all of humanity, this is an awesome thought, all of humanity is on one or the other path. You are either this morning on the narrow path or you are on the broad path. You are either headed to life and experiencing life now in Jesus, or you are headed for destruction. Now, every man is a pilgrim and is traveling one of these two roads. There are many different kinds of people, but there are only two roads. Joshua, in chapter 24, verse 15, called the people of Israel and said, Choose you this day who you will serve. Now, every one of us in this sanctuary this morning, in this service, you are going to have to make a choice. You're going to choose this morning to either accept or reject Jesus Christ. You're going to choose either to enter that narrow gate or the broad gate and the wide road, or the narrow road which leads to life. Perhaps you've already rejected Jesus and you find yourself on that broad road this morning. My prayer is that you will turn away from your sin, from the path of destruction, and that you will turn to Jesus Christ. Now, what's happening in our text is that Jesus has come to the end of his sermon, properly at verse 12, where Jesus gives to us what is commonly called the golden rule. All things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So he's taken the entire Sermon on the Mount, the Christian's character, the Christian's influence, his righteousness, his ambition, his relationships, and he has summarized them in this one golden ruler, so to speak, by which we can examine our lives. Do I treat others the way I would have them treat me? Jesus lays this down. Then he moves in verses 13 and 14 and all the way to the end of the chapter, verse 27, to conclude his sermon by way of application. All good sermons must have some form of application. They shouldn't just be information, but they should apply to us at a point in our life. And so Jesus is seeking now to apply his great sermon by exhorting us to enter in to the gate. Now we're going to look at these two contrasts between the gates, the way, and the destination. First of all, let's look at the two different gates. Verse 13, enter ye in at the strait, in the King James Bible, or narrow, gate, for wide is the gate. So here right off the bat, we see there are two gates. One is narrow, and the other gate is wide. Now, I believe the narrow gate represents salvation through Jesus Christ. It is very, very simple. He's not talking about the gate of heaven that we're going to go through one day. He's not talking about the gate of philosophy or knowledge. He's talking about himself. Jesus said in another place in John's Gospel, chapter 10, I am the door. Now, he's not speaking in literal terms. I'm a door walking around with a hinge and a, you know, doorknob on it. But I am the door. If any man enter in through me, Jesus says, he shall be saved. So Jesus Christ is the door of salvation. Here he's a gate. Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can enter into the kingdom of God but by me. No man can come to the Father except through me. Now, a lot of people don't like this idea of Jesus being the narrow gate of salvation and the exclusiveness of it all, that there's only one way to heaven. But the truth is that that's what the Bible declares, and that is reality, that is the truth. Now, people want you to broaden the way to God. They want you to broaden the path to salvation. All roads lead to God. You can believe what you want, think what you want, do what you want. As long as you're sincere, everyone will finally end up in heaven. And that's a common view today, but it is absolutely not true. The whole idea of narrow is offensive in our world today to many. Many would have us believe that the gate to salvation is very wide. All paths lead to God, they say. Now, we realize that in other areas, we are very narrow-minded, very fundamental, and very restricted. When you come to math, now, when I was younger in school, I really didn't care for math. If you're young and in school, you should care for math, even though I didn't. But I thought, you know, hey, I just want to, you know, go surf and play baseball. And you don't have to know how to add to play baseball, you know. So just add up your scores is all. And I couldn't wait for recess. That was my favorite time when I was in school. And the bell would ring and we'd be, thank God I'm free at last, you know. But you know, when you're working out a mathematical problem, there's only one answer to it. I've never had a math teacher say, well, John, you know, your paper, you got all the answers wrong, but I want to be open-minded about this. Let's just say that all answers are correct. You know, there is this foolish higher learning kind of philosophy now that you wouldn't want to damage some young person's self-esteem, so don't tell them when their answer is wrong. What stupidity. When we know that when we're working on a mathematical problem, there's one answer that's right, and anything off of it is wrong. There's a right and there's a wrong answer, and you have to get the answer right. There's no other options. You know, lately with my trip and other trips, I've been flying a whole lot. And, you know, when you get in an airplane and you take off, and we flew from Los Angeles straight to London over, you know, Canada, the Hudson Bay and Iceland and Greenland, the North Atlantic, and we landed in London. You know, when you're in an airplane, what kind of a pilot do you want? You want a narrow, restricted, it's very straight, fanatic, fundamentalist pilot, right? There's only one way to land this plane in London. Now, when he was coming into London on our trip, if he were to hear the tower say, you know, hold off, the runways are full, or you have to land on one specific runway, how would you like the pilot to start arguing, oh, you know, all runways lead to London? I know we're here in Heathrow Airport, but, you know, all runways lead to Heathrow. This is fine. We can land wherever we want. Freak out time. You know, he's told that you can land on this one runway, and you better land on that one runway. Oh, well, let's not be so narrow. Let's not be so restricted here. There are those that say you can come to know God through nature. They go out into the woods and hug a tree. Now, you can hug a tree if you want, but you're not going to experience God. You might get a rash on your arm or something. But you're not going to experience God. Or perhaps through religion, they sit in a lotus and contemplate their navel, trying to find God. They'll find lint, but they won't find God. Ever wondered how lint gets there in the first place? Quite a thing. You're not going to get to God through religion or through religious exercises or through human effort or self-energy. You say, well, I'm just living a good life, Pastor John. I try to live by the golden rule and I just try to be a good person. You know, Jesus has just laid down the highest standards imaginable to man in the Sermon on the Mount, ending with the golden rule. But what does he say next? He says, you must choose to enter in through the narrow gate. It's not enough just to hear his teaching. He's going to go on to say, some will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we know you in that day? Prophesy and do these things. And he says, I never knew you. Depart from me. He's going to show that there's a wise man and a foolish man that built his house on rock or sand, two houses. Actually, as you close this sermon, there are two gates. There are two trees, one good fruit, one bad fruit. And there are two builders, one foolish and one wise. Which are you this morning? What road are you on? Is your life bearing fruit? You must enter into the gate by a conscious decision that you must make in order to be a child of God. So the narrow gate is Jesus Christ, which we'll find leads to life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no way by nature or religion or your own goodness or morality that anyone can enter in to that gate. Now, how do we enter into that narrow gate? First of all, by repentance. The word repent means to change your mind. To change your mind about what God says concerning you. God says, all have sinned, all have come short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous, no, not one. A lot of people don't believe that. Why? I'm not a sinner, I'm a good person. The Bible says you are a sinner, that you've fallen short of God's glory. We inherit sin from Adam. When Adam sinned, he passed sin on to every succeeding generation. We were born with a sin nature. Thus, we are separated from God at birth. And because of that sinful bent or that sinful nature, we commit disobedience toward God and we break His law. We become transgressors of God's law. We have sinned. And so the word repent, metanoia, means to change your mind. And you realize, yes, I am a sinner. And then the Bible says that we must put our faith in Jesus Christ in order to enter that narrow gate. A person enters the gate through faith. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the dead. And now we must choose to receive what he did for us on the cross. We put our trust in him. And if you don't like the idea of faith, you think of it as basically just trust. And we exercise trust and faith in so many things. I've seen some of the cars you guys drive. That takes a lot of faith to drive them babies. You should put a crash pad at the south end of the parking lot when you pull in the church. The brakes go out. You know, one of those safety ramps or something. You go into a restaurant, you pretty much eat by faith. You haven't gone back to the kitchen to see what they're doing with your food. Why do you think they have the lights so low? They don't want you to see what you're eating. You eat by faith. You walk into a building. How? By faith. How do you know the roof isn't going to fall in on you? You drive over these huge freeway overpasses that we have here in California. Whole time, oh Lord, you know, you're... Don't let an earthquake come right now, Lord, hurry. You get off the freeway, you get down on terra firma. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Faith. You don't stop before you go up to one of those big old freeway overpasses and kick the pilings underneath to make sure they're secure before you go over. You just enter it by faith. Well, faith is just simply trusting in Jesus Christ to save you. He who died for you and paid the penalty for your sins. You know, some things about the narrow gate, it is so narrow we can only enter one at a time. In a sense, you can't really get saved by osmosis through someone else. You can only enter that gate as an individual. You can't do it for your husband, for your wife, for your kids, or for your parents, or anything. You must enter that gate of your own choosing. You must also enter that narrow gate, leaving anything of the old life behind you. The gate is so narrow, you can't take your baggage with you, your old sinful habits. You know, when you get on an airplane and travel, they check your baggage and weigh it and size it and make sure you're not carrying too much baggage on the plane. It's funny, a lot of people want to come to Jesus Christ and carry all their baggage with them. Lord, can I still hang on to my hatred and my bitterness and my lust and my greed and my covetousness and my selfishness? And the Bible says, no, the gate is so narrow that you have to leave that behind. You can't enter that gate with your old life. You have to leave sometimes your old associations. I remember as a young man, 19 years old, I was actually young one time. And that was the point in my life when I realized, hey, I'm following the crowd. I'm going the wrong direction. I'm on the wide path to destruction. And I repented. I turned around and I went through that narrow gate. And none of my friends went with me. None of them went with me. There are a few that since have come to the Lord, but I remember that I pretty much had to take a stand all on my own. Okay, I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to follow with him. We sing, though none go with me, still I will follow. And you know, I'd rather walk a lonely road with Jesus than be without him in the crowd any day. So many times we put our stock in our friends or our associations. We want to be accepted. We want to be liked. And how sad it is that we will neglect Jesus Christ. Remember the rich young ruler? He came to Jesus and said, I want to follow you. And Jesus says, well, you've got to sell everything that you have. Give it to the poor, and then you can have treasures in heaven and come and follow me. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that becomes a Christian needs to literally sell all their possessions. But it does mean in this young man's case specifically that there were things in his life that he was unwilling to give up, that they were hindering him from coming to Jesus Christ. And so Jesus put his finger on those very things in his life. It was his money, it was his possessions, it was his treasures. So Jesus said, look, you got to give them all up. This is a narrow gate. You can't carry that with you through the gates. And the Bible says that he turned and went sorrowfully away because of his great wealth, his great treasures. He was very rich. Jesus said how hard it is for those that are rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is easier for a camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get into heaven. Why? Because they cling so tightly to their possessions. And they don't want to give them up to pass through that narrow gate. What is it in your life that is keeping you from following Jesus Christ? your friends, you want to be cool, you want to be accepted. Maybe your husband, your wife, you don't want them to laugh at you or reject you. Maybe it's your sins, your selfish pleasures, your covetousness. You don't want to deny yourself. Because when Jesus says to follow, we follow Him. He says, if you follow me, you must, what? Deny yourself. Ouch, that hurts. The world is saying, indulge yourself. Jesus says, deny yourself. He said, take up your cross and follow me. So the narrow gate involves our faith, our repentance, our believing in Jesus, and entering in to salvation. But notice the contrast of the wide gate. Right off the bat, he says, enter the straight or narrow gate. For wide is the gate, broad the way, which leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So now we have another gate. This gate is very broad. It's very wide. It's the way the false prophets like to widen the gate. Notice in verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. They come saying, oh, all paths lead to God. You can believe whatever you want to believe. All religions are true or have truth in them, and they can, you know, get you to heaven. But Jesus says, no, the way to eternal life is very narrow, very restricted. By the way, it's restricted and narrowed by divine revelation, not by human invention. God is the one that defines how we can approach Him. But there's the wide gates that many like to enter. Have you entered the narrow gate this morning? Have you made a conscious decision to receive Jesus Christ? To invite Him to forgive your sins and to come into your heart? Have you been born again and received eternal life? There are two gates, and we must choose which gate we are to enter. But secondly, those two gates, notice, lead to two ways or two paths. First, there is the broad path, verse 13. And then verse 14, there is the straight or the narrow gate and the narrow way which leads to life. And so we find two gates leading to two paths or two ways, the narrow way, the broad way. Now, as I've said earlier, all humanity is on one of these two roads. Now, the narrow road to begin with is God's road. It is what I like to think of as the King's highway. It is restricted by divine standards, as seen in the Sermon on the Mount. All that we've learned over the last several months that Jesus has talked about in the Beatitudes, in our righteous standing before God to be eternal and of the heart and not work outwardly only. All of our conduct in our relationships to other people is that narrow way, that narrow path restricted by God's standards that we are traveling on. It is not an easy way by the world's standards or view. It is the way of self-denial. It is the way of service. It is the way of holiness. It is the way of truth. And notice verse 14, few there be that find it. And so this is not the popular path. The crowd isn't flocking to enter that narrow gate and pass down that narrow way, because it is a way of self-denial and service and holiness. And there are sins and things that people want to hang on to. They're unwilling to follow that narrow way. But notice the contrast of the broad way, verse 13. He says, many are going on that broad way. It is man's way, man's philosophy, humanism, atheism. All the different philosophies of man that deny God and deny God's moral standards and way of holiness. It is Satan's way. It is the way of the world. It's entered in through the wide or the popular gate. It's wide. You can carry all of your sinful baggage with you. You know, there are people that are religious, but they still want to hang on to their sinful lifestyles. So they invent a religion that accommodates their sin. They invent a God that accepts them the way they are, without repentance, without turning from sin, without faith in Jesus Christ. That's too narrow. That's too restricted. And so we invent our own religions. where we can believe whatever we want to believe and we can behave however we want to behave because we are living by our own standards. That's the broad path. I found it interesting that C.S. Lewis described in his autobiography how as a schoolboy of 13, he began to, quote, broaden his mind. I was soon altering the phrase, I believe, to one does feel, and all the relief of it. From the tyrannous noon of revelation, I passed unto the cool evening twilight of higher thought, where there was nothing to be obeyed, nothing to be believed, except what was either comforting or exciting. Ah. People like to go to churches like that. Believe whatever you want to believe. You're okay, I'm okay. We're all going to heaven. Everything's going to be fine. They all applaud. Yes, yes, thank you. They come to church on the broad path and they leave every Sunday on the broad path. The way is to destruction. There's no one there to warn them or to call them to repent and to believe in Jesus Christ and to put their faith in Him and to enter that narrow gate. They're on the road to destruction. A lot of times they don't realize that. And so the broad way is the easy way, the way of self-indulgence, self-satisfying. You know, we get the word broad, or we get from the word broad way here, we get the word country. And it has the idea of being wide and open, no fences. And people want us today to be more open-minded. Let's be open-minded about this. You know, I don't make any apologies as a Christian. I am very, very closed-minded when it comes to how a person is saved. When it comes to eternal life and heaven and hell and how a person gets there. These things are not something that we can just come up with our own ideas. We must be subject to divine revelation found in the Scriptures. God determines the way. He sets the boundaries. What we believe is either true or false. There's no third option. There's no middle ground. We like to broaden the path and soften the way. God says, no, it's either narrow path or it's the broad path. Which path are we on? Sad that the world has bought this philosophy that there are no absolutes. There's no truth. I heard this week some disturbing news about Wesleyan College in the United States that they have a class now on pornography. Students can enroll and take a class on pornography. The one student did as a project, a pornographic film, turned it into the teacher. They have a class on petphilia. You can take a class and learn how as an adult to have sex with children. And in the curriculum, it says that if you oppose this lifestyle, that it's on a par with bigotry or racism. That's how far in the United States, that's how wide we have broadened this path that we are on. We have this big, wide road that so many in the United States and the world are traveling on, and the path, as we see thirdly, leads to destruction. You say, well, John, why would anyone want to go on the narrow road? It's difficult, it's hard, self-denial. It's restricted by divine revelation. Well, the third thing is the destiny, and that shows us what path we should be on. One destination is life. The other destination is destruction. What's important is your destiny. Where are you going? Notice in verse 13 once again, for wide is the gate, broad is the way, which leads where? Destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. It's the pot. This is popular. Everybody's doing it. This is what everybody believes. This is what's cool. This is what's on TV. And everybody's following that path. It's the broad way which leads to destruction. I believe this is a reference ultimately to hell, eternal damnation. Jesus knew well where that broad path led. He knew better than anyone else, and he spoke more about hell than anyone else. Jesus wasn't going to wash it down or whitewash it or dilute the reality that when a person refuses to enter that narrow gate to follow Jesus Christ, when they're not born again, they're on that broad road, they are headed for hell. They're headed for destruction. They're headed for damnation. Wide is the gate that leads to hell. Famous Bible teacher Harry Ironside said when he was a little boy, he said, "Mom, if I accept Jesus Christ, my friends will laugh at me." She took him up in her lap and she said, "Harry, your friends can laugh you into hell, but they can never laugh you out of hell." How true that is. Following the crowd, following the popular way, "Well, I don't want to become a Christian because, man, the guys will laugh at me." Oh, horror of all horrors. Jesus said, "This path leads to destruction." Now, there are times that as Christians, we start to look over at the wide, smooth path. I kind of imagine it, if you'll allow me the liberty to preach with a little bit of sanctified imagination, to preach from the white places in the Bible, that this path actually has a slight downhill slope to it. And that the wind always blows at one's back, and there are no bumps in the road, and there are no curbs. It's just so wide, I mean, you can just do whatever you want. You know, whenever I go riding a bicycle, I always like to ride downhill. I'll just switch streets as far as I can to go as far as I can downhill. Then I'll call my wife and tell her to come pick me up. "Honey, I'm down here in Redlands. I've been riding my bike downhill all the way. Can you come pick me up?" Nobody likes to go uphill. It's difficult. It's hard. Psalm 73, Asaph looked over at that wide path and he said, "Man, I begin to be envious at the wicked." He began to think, "I've cleansed my hands in vain and I've washed my heart in innocency, and it doesn't do any good to be a Christian. You know, these fat cats," Kenneth Taylor says that in his Living Bible, "these fat cats have everything they need." It's a paraphrase. And the King James says, "Their eyes stand out with fatness." When I first read that, I thought of how I used to squeeze my hamster and his eyes used to bulge a little bit. Every time you read that psalm now, I want you to think about that. Man, they're just fat. They're just bulging, you know. They're never sick like me. Never in financial trouble like me. Never have any problems like I do. This is no good, you know, following this narrow way. Then Asaph says, "But then finally I went to church and I went to the house of the Lord and I began to contemplate their end, their destination. They're on a slippery path that leads to destruction. And one day they're going to awaken like one would awaken from a dream. And they'll realize that it may have been seemingly the easy road, the acceptable road, the popular road, but the end thereof was destruction." Which road are you on today? Are you on your way to hell or on your way to heaven? Asaph said, "Oh, I was so grieved that I would think like this. Lord, forgive me. I was like an animal before you. And I realized that, you know, you're with me and you're strengthening me and you're guiding me and you're blessing me and you're leading me." And he began to name all the blessed things that he had. And then he says, "After this, you'll receive me into glory." It's kind of like all this in heaven too. Now, this is the key. Please listen carefully. It may seem that the narrow path is the difficult one, but in reality, it's the blessed one. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." But the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. You know, you look at people who are on that broad road and you can see just the devastation in their face and their countenance. They don't have the Lord's joy. They don't have the Lord's peace. They don't have the hope of eternity. Look at the people around you in the world we live in and just the emptiness and the sadness, even in their faces, because they don't have the love of God. They don't have the joy that comes from knowing Jesus and walking with Him. And they don't have the hope of eternal life. The truth is, the narrow path is the blessed path. The path that walks hand in hand with Jesus Christ. It may be narrow, but it's wide enough for any sinner who will enter in. The gate may be narrow, but the Bible says, whosoever will, he can come, and God will not reject him, not turn him away. The gate is wide enough to receive you if you will put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you seek to find your life, which is the road that leads to destruction, the broad road, he says you will lose it. But if you lose your life, that's the narrow gate, the narrow way, he says you will find it. That's the path that leads to life. And it's the only way of realizing life's highest purposes and possibilities. What a joy it is to come to that narrow gate and to believe in Jesus Christ. You know, when you came to church this morning, you followed a road. Now, to get to the Red Barn, we have to somehow get here on Baseline. It's the only street you can enter, but maybe you came up Tippecanoe and you turned on Baseline. Maybe you came down Del Rosa from the 30 freeway and you turned right on Baseline. Maybe you came east out Baseline or west out Baseline. I don't know what road or what path you took to get to the church, but I do know this, that every single one in the service this morning was on either the broad path or the narrow road. You came to this church service this morning on one of two roads, either God's highway, the narrow road, or the broad way of destruction. And when this service is over in just a few moments, every one of you will choose what road you want to take when you leave church. You go, I'm taking Baseline. There are no third options. When you leave church this morning, you'll either take the narrow road or the broad road. You'll either take your own selfish way or God's way. You'll either follow Satan's way or God's way, the King's highway. It all depends on which way you turn. If you'll turn in faith and repentance and believe in Jesus Christ, there is a narrow gate and there is a wide gate. You must choose which one you want to enter. The narrow gate leads to a narrow way, but it's a blessed path. You walk with God and it leads to life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. There's a broad gate and that broad gate leads to a wide path. And you may enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but the end thereof is the way of death. It's destruction. You must choose. There is no third option. Let's pray.